This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Hayes Wuhib coming up on Africa News Tonight.
The Kenyan Supreme Court has invalidated last month's presidential election and ordered a new election be held within 60 days. The court ruled that Kenya's Electoral Commission was responsible for irregularities and illegalities in the transmission of election results.
That's Jill Craig with the latest on Kenya's Supreme Court ruling that has nullified the results of the country's elections. Details next.
Also, President Robert Mugabe is expected to address the presidency succession debate to members of his ZANU-PF party today.
We have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
The Kenyan Supreme Court has invalidated last month's presidential election and ordered a new election be held within 60 days. The court ruled that Kenya's Electoral Commission was responsible for irregularities and illegalities in the transmission of election results. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has more.
Kenyans reacted with celebration, frustration, and shock Friday after the Supreme Court, in a 4-2 decision, ordered a do-over of last month's presidential poll. Chief Justice David Maraga made the announcement.
A declaration is hereby issued that the presidential election held on 8th August 2017 was not conducted in accordance with the Constitution and the applicable law rendering the declared results invalid, null, and void.
Kenya's Electoral Commission had said incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta defeated opposition leader Raila Odinga by a margin of about 1.4 million votes. But Maraga stated in his ruling that Kenyatta was not validly elected and that the Electoral Commission would need to conduct a credible, fresh presidential election within 60 days. It was a ruling in favor of the petitioners, Odinga and his NASA coalition, who have consistently argued that a hacked voting system made for a stolen election.
It's a very historic day for the people of Kenya, and by extension, for the people of the continent of Africa. For the first time in history of African democratization, a ruling has been made by a court nullifying irregular elections of a president. This is a precedent-setting ruling.
Kenyatta expressed disappointment in the decision, but vowed to go back again to the people with the same agenda.
As I have said, millions of Kenyans queued, made their choice, and six people have decided that they will go against the will of the people. The court has made its decision. We respect it. We don't agree with it.
Odinga reiterated that his coalition has no faith in the Electoral Commission as currently constituted.
They have committed criminal acts. Most of them actually belong to jail. And therefore, we are going to ask for prosecution of all the Electoral Commission officers who have caused this monstrous crime against the people of Kenya.
University of Nairobi lecturer Herman Manyora disagrees with this approach.
Elections are not perfect by their nature, even in the election of the Pope. Nothing is perfect. And therefore, you cannot immediately begin to think about jailing people. I think that's extreme.
But even the Electoral Commission's chairman didn't rule it out.
The Commission invites the Office of the Director of Public Prosecution to urgently and expeditiously investigate and prosecute any of our staff that may have been involved in violation of the Election Offences Act.
Wafula Chebukati also requested the court provide its full judgment as soon as possible in order for his team to prepare for fresh elections. 24 heads of mission, including those from the U.S., Britain, Canada, and the European Union, released a statement that the decision demonstrated Kenya's resilient democracy and commitment to the rule of law, and urged the new presidential poll be free, fair, credible, and peaceful. After the ruling, Kenya's stock market briefly stopped trading after blue-chip shares fell by the 10% limit. Supporters of Odinga poured into the streets, cheering and waiting for another chance to elect their candidate. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
We have reaction to the historic ruling by Kenya's Supreme Court. We'll first hear from David Maraga, Kenya's Chief Justice.
A declaration is hereby issued that the presidential election held on 8th August 2017 was not conducted in accordance with the Constitution and the applicable law, rendering the declared results invalid, null, and void.
That was David Maraga, Kenya's Chief Justice. Kenya's opposition leader, Raila Odinga, praised the Supreme Court ruling.
Indeed, it's a very historic day for the people of Kenya, and by extension, for the people of the continent of Africa. For the first time in history of African democratization, a ruling has been made by a court nullifying irregular elections of a president. This is a precedent-setting ruling. They are very historical.
That was Kenya's opposition leader, Raila Odinga. President Uhuru Kenyatta says this decision is not the fault of Kenyans.
I personally disagree with the ruling that has been made today, but I respect it as much as I disagree with it. Fellow Kenyans, I say peace, because the fault is not yours. The fault is not yours. Your neighbor remains your neighbor.
That was Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta.
For more insight into this historic ruling by Kenya's Supreme Court, I spoke with our colleague BMJ Mavriti of VOA Swahili Service, who has been closely following developments. He explained first why the Supreme Court made the decision to void the election.
They haven't given a whole lot of reasons because they just delivered a very brief ruling. But some of the things that they mentioned in this very brief ruling was that the democratic principles were not followed in the election that was held on the 8th of August, and that there were very many irregularities. Those are the two reasons that they have put forth in their ruling today. But bear in mind that in the course of time, they will be able to bring in a more comprehensive ruling showing exactly what it is they were considering and how they considered it.
Does this show then that the electoral process did work the way it was supposed to work, the fact that they were able to do this?
Now, this shows that the electoral process did not work as stipulated in the Kenyan Constitution, according to the Supreme Court. Now, bear in mind that the Supreme Court in Kenya is the utmost, the only place you can get in terms of seeking redress or legal justice. And therefore, according to the Supreme Court, the process did not work the way it's supposed to work. And this means that it is the way it is, and they have nowhere else they can go apart from doing what these seven judges have said should be done.
Now, of course, we have heard from previous reports and the reporting that Jill Craig did that some Kenyans are celebrating, very happy about this, and other Kenyans are very quiet about this. So what do you think this really means for Kenyans, and do you think there will be any flare-ups of violence?
Now, this is happening just as would have been expected. Most of the areas that we would call the strongholds of the opposition is where the celebration is happening, including areas like Kisumu and some parts of Nairobi where there was humongous, massive support for the opposition and down at the coast. This, in a way, is being received by people as a good sign that there will not be any flare-ups, because if you remember, according to the history of elections in Kenya, most of the time it is the opposition strongholds where these flare-ups have happened. And therefore, there is no reason for people to fight, because the ruling party, the, most of the areas that they have a good following, has not been known, at least since 2007, to have any issues that would end up bringing up violence or people coming out in the street. So far, it looks good until probably the next election and see what happens. After that, you can never guarantee anything.
Now, we're already hearing that there has been some economic impact to this decision. What does this really mean for Kenya's economy?
Yes, I have seen that. Reuters is reporting that already the markets have gone down. What it means is that it's not going to be a very good thing for the country. Now, depending on how long it will take before the next election is held, will determine whether the country will go down on its knees, which is possible because the impact. Now, bear in mind that this is the first time something like this has happened, not only in Kenya, but in Africa. So that nobody has really a good idea of how this will impact the economy. But as you said already, it's not looking very good, but it is hoped that it will stabilize with time. And the sooner this election is held, the rerun is done, the better for the country's economy, in my thinking.
That was our colleague, BMJ Murithi of VOA Swahili Service.
President Robert Mugabe is expected today to address members of his ZANU-PF party in Gweru, a city about 300 kilometers southwest of Harare. The focus will be on the succession debate for the presidency. It involves two factions, one led by his wife Grace Mugabe and another by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. The First Lady Grace Mugabe is also expected to address the public. This would be the first time following her assault allegations in neighboring South Africa about 2 weeks ago. Opposition parties in both Zimbabwe and South Africa are calling for the rejection of diplomatic immunity granted to Mrs. Mugabe after assaulting a model in Johannesburg.
Well, in Texas, floodwaters may be slowly receding in Houston, but many freeways and neighborhoods near dams and reservoirs are still underwater. Many flood victims are staying in shelters. There are several mosques that have opened their doors to the larger community. The volunteers and temporary residents in one West Houston mosque learned something they did not expect. VOA's Elizabeth Lee reports from Houston.
Passing the time in shelters hasn't been easy for flood victims who don't know when they can go home. 19-year-old Sarah Al-Azad from Saudi Arabia has only been in Houston for 4 months.
We've never had any experience before like that with any kind of storm from where I came from. We didn't take it that seriously. And when the flood happened, it was a life-changing experience.
Al-Azad, whose mother is Indonesian and whose father is Syrian, is here with her family and her cousins. As the children play, all the adults are anxious to get home and don't know when the mandatory evacuation will be lifted. But here, they are safe and surrounded by kindness.
We were really amazed. A lot of people who came here to get the temporary shelter. In fact, people came and took them to their homes. So we were really touched by that.
People from the community on the west side of town who did not receive any flood damage have been coming to the shelter to donate items such as sheets and blankets and even toys. And for some of them, it's the first time inside a mosque.
I've never been inside a mosque. I was a bit apprehensive about the which door to go into. And a young lady met me in the parking lot and led me.
People of all faiths, they have come together. They're working just purely on the basis of humanity, nothing else, just human beings helping each other. And then we learn from different people because everyone has different backgrounds, different thought processes. We learn a lot through this.
Coming here dispelled certain assumptions for Mandel.
They're a lot more warmer than I expected. On the males. The females, I've always expected kindness and warmness, but sometimes I, you know, tend to shy away from Muslim men because I don't know the traditions and what I should do correctly.
It was also a learning experience for Chaudhry.
They are human, you know. They are our friends, and they want to help the humanity without any discrimination, without any fear, nothing. They just want to help people.
Al-Azad says her experience at this shelter is nothing like the anti-Muslim rhetoric she sees on the news.
People from not the Islamic faith coming and donating, it was It made me have a different perspective about the U.S. That's, like, really, really, really nice of you, like, you know, as in the non-Muslims, to come in here and donate for us.
The volunteers say breaking down barriers and working together will make the community stronger as they rebuild the city after the flood. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Houston.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Suhuhib, 20 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. The Kenyan Supreme Court has invalidated last month's presidential election and ordered a new election be held within 60 days. And President Robert Mugabe addresses the presidency's succession debate to members of his ZANU-PF party today. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Well, Cameroon has freed three Anglophone leaders detained over the ongoing strike in parts of the country. The president's decision to order that the charges be dropped is an important concession to the strikers' demands and may open the way to renewed talks to end the nine-month crisis. Moki Edwin Kinzigo reports on the reaction in the affected regions and what comes next.
Neighbors, relatives, admirers, and family members pray at the Yaoundé Tamtam weekend residence of Paul Aya Abini, former Advocate General of the Supreme Court of Cameroon and National Chairman of the Popular Action Party, who was arrested in January 2017. And locked up at the defense headquarters in Yaoundé. After gaining his freedom Thursday, Paul finds it difficult to speak. He says the only thing he can say besides what the family spokesperson will tell VOA is that he is grateful to God. Paul looks tired and sick, and has grown white hair all over his head and chin. His wife, Valentine Ndale Aya, says her husband had an infection while in detention. She says her husband, who was in very good health before his arrest, is now a cardiac patient and has to take at least 8 different medicines every morning for survival. She says since the crisis that almost took his life while under detention, Paul no longer sees well. Paul Aya Abini, lawyer Felix Agbobala, Dr. Neba Fontem and 53 others who were facing charges at the Yaoundé Military Tribunal were released following an order signed by Ferdinand Gongo, Secretary General at Cameroon's presidency, stating that President Paul Biya had decided to release them. Government spokesperson Issa Chiruma says President Biya took the decision because he wants peace to reign in Cameroon.
It stems from his resolve to give precedence to the values of peace, tolerance, dialogue, and humanism, which are the trademarks of our nation. The President of the Republic gave precedence to dialogue, serenity, and active solidarity of all stakeholders in the development of our nation.
Paul and the others were arrested late last year and in January 2017 and accused of inciting violence during the protest in the northwest and southwest regions. They pleaded not guilty to the charges that included complicity in hostility against the homeland, secession, civil war, and campaigning for federalism. Their arrest provoked a wave of violence that paralyzed business since January. Activists and Anglophones called for their unconditional release. Defense Counsel Luke Kissap says the release will open the way for renewed talks and end 9 months of crisis.
There is a need to foster peace and social dialogue, the need for people to go back to school. So the president has carried out a gracious measure as the father of the nation, and we must congratulate him. Those who have been released have families, they have friends, they have people who are expecting them, who want them to come back home.
Felix Garner, who has not sent his children to school since January to press for the release of the leaders, says the government has shown signs it is now open for dialogue.
It's a great step by the government to encourage dialogue, to see that there is peace, to see that the problems that the English-speaking part of Cameroon is raising will be solved. The children will go back to school. My kids will go back to school. So for that, it is good news.
But in a video shared after the release, some activists are asking President Biya to release some 20 others still being detained, to call back those who have escaped and are on exile, and to recall close to 5,000 soldiers he had deployed to the English-speaking North, West and South West regions before genuine dialogue can begin. Local analysts say Biya bowed to pressure and ordered the release because English-speaking parents were bent on keeping their children at home when the new school year opens next Monday until the leaders are released. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Curtis Bynum, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Peter Clottey, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.